all dancing around the table here to that upbeat music. What was that, Heather?
That was Accidentally in Love by the Counting Crows, and some of you may recognize that from the Shrek soundtrack.
Well, this is Sherry Edwards back with you with Tall Blonde Heather, who you've gotten to know the last few weeks as I've taken a much-needed rest. I think that was my first break in about 10 years. That was a real a real rest, and I've heard very good things. I heard most of the shows that you guys have been talking about. We started most of this from the computer program that we've been doing called N-Voiced. And Nikki hates this idea, but for me, N-Voiced is bringing what's inside of you as your hidden thoughts, bringing it outside and telling you what you really, what's really going on. And when we started doing discussions around the office about what this was really bringing out in people, boy, did we get an earful. And we thought, well, we'll just have a good time with this. So we've done some roundtables, some reviews of what's going on, and people have really liked what we've done. I have a request here. I think your girls' review session is a hoot and really hot. I love how you just let it all hang out, and it's real. It's what all of us out here experience. But no one talks about it. Can you make this a series? I would like to send the last few shows to some of our friends. Include the one you did last night on relationships and personal stress. I can be reached at blah, blah, blah. Heather, can you do that? Can you?
Absolutely. The best way to do that right now, I'm working on getting them all recorded and up online and available. And you can find that on NutraSounds.com, NutraSounds.com, or you can email me directly. Heather at vocalprofiling.com.
Can they also take them off archives at BBS?
That is absolutely available in archives, yeah.
Okay, talk a little bit about these roundtable shows we've been doing, about relationships, about expectations in relationships, about moving from this lovey-dovey place to expectations and all falls apart. We've talked about body image and men's oogling people's posterior and why they do that. What are some of the other things we've talked about? Do you guys remember?
Gosh, we did one on weight discrimination and men's views and what went through men's heads when they were looking at somebody else other than their mate. Why they did such things.
And I love the show you did, Heather, about your socks.
My famous sock story, and that was all true.
That was about her husband who came home from a hard day's work, and she made him leave his socks outside because they could stand on their own.
That's true. He did that every day.
I bet there's a lot of really hard-working men out there who work and sweat that much because they want to provide for their family. We've done a lot of invoices about getting to people's real feelings. We've got a lot of them posted on BBS.
BBS Radio.
And where else, Heather, are they posted?
Well, we've got them linked up on NutraSounds. The easiest way to find those, if you can't find them directly on bbsradio.com, is to go to NutraSounds, and right below the links on the left-hand side is a link to the famous profiles.
And we want to thank all of you for suggesting the ones that we do. And we've asked the people on the Ron Paul show if we could bring the vocal profiles that we did for Ron Paul, because we see that he is an absolutely honest and forthright candidate, and we think that's really important that we get that out to the public. So we've requested to be on the show. We'll see what happens. Heather, you have an announcement, too, about Duke University.
Yeah, absolutely, Sherry. This is really exciting news. For those of you who don't know, Sherry and her work with bioacoustics is in the Duke Encyclopedia of New Medicine. And Sherry, can I read a little bit of passage here about us?
Okay. Sure.
It's under bioacoustic therapy, and it states, all humans have unique vocal frequencies that reflect their state of health according to bioacoustic therapy. Each person emits a unique signature sound that represents the vibrational energies of the body and its functions. And to go back down to the history, we've got a whole section here just devoted to Sherry and her work. Bioacoustics, the therapeutic approach, was developed by American Sherry Edwards in 1982 after she realized she could hear unusually high frequencies and mimic people's unique voice frequencies. Her research led her to formulate the concept of signature sounds and the idea that distortions due to pain, emotional stress, and disease could be detected via a voice print and corrected with frequency-specific sounds.
And they did not interview us for that book. They just found us and put us in there. We're in lots and lots of books, aren't we?
We, you know what, if you go on Amazon and do a search for Sherry Edwards, and that's Sherry with an A, gosh, what, 30 publications or so come up.
At least. And
yeah.
Nikki did a booklet about it, and we're going to have that on Nutrisound.
We can post that on Nutrisound.com.
You know, I bet that came from the woman we worked with at the Duke University Eye Center, because we helped her reverse her macular degeneration,
yeah.
Supposedly incurable kind of disease where people lose part of their field of vision. We had a guy here last week that was just awesome.
That was amazing. I've got video, and I'm working on editing that right now. I'd love to post that profile up on Nutrisound.
You want to talk about that a bit?
Well, he came in basically not able to see faces. He could tell there were people standing in front of him, but that's it. He can distinguish one person from the other. And by the time that he left our facility, he walked out being able to read a newspaper.
And he was only here 2 days.
That in our clinical receptionist, who is new, was just flat out amazed.
Well, they keep saying to us, well, that's just spontaneous remission, but that. It's not just one case we've done that with. It's many, many cases, and they're documented that we can help people regain their vision. So that, to me, is just really kind of amazing. I've been working with this for 30 years, and I'm still amazed. We also have an expo coming up, don't we, Heather?
We do. Next weekend's coming up on its fast. We're going to be at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Columbus, Ohio, this Saturday and Sunday, October 13th and 14th. Sherry is going to be giving a speech, and it'll be Saturday at 11:30, and then also a workshop Saturday evening from 5:30 to 7:30. And if you want to come see us, we will be in booth 613. We'd love to talk to you.
And what we're going to do there is teach you to do what we're doing now with Invoice, how to run this computer program, and how to see what's really inside. I want to introduce the panel. Heather, as always, tall blonde Heather is here. And Sheila is here. You've been with us before. You're a single parent?
That's me.
And you have a
little girl?
Little girl. Are you in a relationship now?
Yeah.
You should see the reluctance.
Half-hearted, Sheila.
I am, but it's... There are some kinks, but we're working on them.
If I've ever seen reluctance on somebody's face, there he is. And Jessica's back with us.
Hello.
And you're a single mother, too.
And now.
And just going through a divorce now and going to school and working full-time and just incredibly busy.
Yes.
Sheila, you're also working full-time and trying to be super mom, too.
Yeah.
And we have Chris with us, who was with us last night. And I should tell you that Chris has on a T-shirt that says, "Your girlfriend is my biggest fan." And with Chris is Nikki, his wife. And Nikki, you've been with us before. You co-hosted a show last night with Heather that was just superb. I loved it. I got so enthralled in listening to it that I burnt my supper. Actually, I burned up not only the pan, but the spatula. So it was just an incredible show. We're going to talk about that a little bit. You want to recap what the show was last night?
Our guest on the show last night was Dr. David Clark, and he has written a book about stress-related illness. The title of the book is They Can't Find Anything Wrong, and it entails stories of people who have become physically ill, and they've found that it was because of the stress in their lives, and it was just fascinating. I agree, it was a good show, and he was a very interesting guest.
And did he talk about stress in relationships?
Yes, and the most interesting point he he made was that about relationships and stress was that when you've had a traumatic experience in childhood or in a relationship as an adult and you meet someone that treats you decently, that sometimes gives people a physical reaction. They can get angry or sick because they're not used to someone treating them decent, and it kind of triggers those old feelings, and they start to resent the people who have treated them badly and realize how badly they were treated. So that sometimes brings upon illnesses and their stress-related illnesses.
Now, let me get this clear. If you are treated bad in childhood and somebody treats you well now, you might get sick from being treated good?
Isn't yes. that amazing? I found
yes.
that amazing, too. Yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. It was fascinating. And I can see how that...
Yeah, if you're mistreated.
How about if you're in a relationship and your partner was treated bad and they start treating you bad because they think they're a horrible person and you're too good to be with them? They talk about that at all?
No, I should have asked that, though.
I think that's just as true, that people think they ought not to be treated well because they feel too guilty that they're such a cruddy person, or if somebody really knew them, they wouldn't love them. So that's one of the things that we do with Invoice, but also not just people coming to the expo to listen to us about Invoice. We're going to teach people about these other programs, about the muscle program and the nutrition program, so they can do things like this macular degeneration reversal at the same time. We had such a good response to this show last night. Are we going to have Dr. Clark on again?
Absolutely. I'm working on that right now. We've got so many questions from our audience that we didn't even have time to get to in an hour last night. And his book is a really good book, an easy read, very informative read. Nikki, I think you enjoyed that most of all.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the book. And you can find it on Amazon, and he says it's at Borders now.
Yeah, and his website, for any of you who want to check him out, is stressillness.com.
So three things. Listen to our BBS session last night, Sound Health. Buy his book, and from what I got, it's very practical. Although it's written by an MD, very practical, down-to-earth information.
Exactly, very easy to read, very easy to follow, and easy to apply to your own life.
Okay, one of the things that we plan to do tonight, and Chris volunteered for this, he is going to, he's agreed to be on the hot seat and to answer for all men.
Boy.
It was a good show last night, and thank you for being here. And this is your chance out there, people. If you ever want to ask a man representative a question, here it is. Can we read the numbers of how they can get in touch with us?
Absolutely. For any of those who want to call in and ask any of us a question, the toll-free number in USA is 877-270-8714. Toll-free in Canada, 888-228-4494. Or an alternate line if you can't get through in those two lines is area code 530-413-4515.
Oh, before I do that, I don't want to forget to talk about the classes. We have free classes, and they can get in touch with you, Heather.
Absolutely.
Free classes about learning to do what I am about to do on the air right here. Now, most of the time, you call us, and we take your vocal print, and we sort of give you information about ourselves. In this whole series, we've been working up to partnerships and relationships. So Nikki and Chris volunteered this afternoon to give us a vocal print talking about each other. We didn't want them to do it on the air because we thought the stress of being on the air might dilute it in some way. So I have in front of me, and Heather, will you post this so people can see it?
I would love to,
on the
with
site?
Nikki and Chris's permission. Do I have that?
We're a research institute.
Nikki, what did you talk about when you did this afternoon when we gave you the sample?
Well, our regular listeners will know that...
I'll be back.
We...
Hello?
Do we have a caller?
Yes, hello.
My name is Lyle, and good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi, Lyle.
Hi. How are you doing?
You're on the air.
Help me out.
I was wondering, I just came across it on BBS Radio, and I was wondering with the voice profiling how it works.
Oh, that's easy. Remind me to talk about a chart. We take a microphone and we take a sample of your voice, 30 seconds to about 2 minutes, and then the computer takes your vocal sample and changes it into frequencies. Your brain speaks frequency, and every time you have an emotion, every time there's a biochemical input to the brain, those frequencies are fed back to your body through the neural network and all your nerves, and that's what animates your body. I just got a research paper today that proves that cells create electricity and transport electricity. So, and electricity is a frequency. So we are looking at your voice as a holographic representation of who you are. We've been doing this research for about 30 years.
So you have had a bunch of files that you've compiled to tell you sort of what's wrong, right?
I think you said we have a bunch of files that we've compared.
Yeah.
Files, you're kind of weaving in and out here on the phone. Yes, we have thousands of files. The office hates it because they have to manage all of them. But, like when we did the macular degeneration chart recently, we pulled out four or five other people that had macular degeneration and did a comparison. We just recently did a study on GABA, gamma albuterate acid, which helps the body with depression and anxiety and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we found that people who have those kinds of, issues in their personality, sometimes they need GABA. We can give that to them as a nutrient, but sometimes it doesn't work because the body doesn't know how to accept it. Its receptor, its doorway to allow it into the body is not open. So we went back to the government database that they let us use, and we looked at the genes and how the body allows these receptors to work. And in one particular case, are we allowed to talk about your case, Nikki?
Sure.
Nikki was one of the volunteers in that study. If you want to go ahead.
I was on depression medication. It caused me to gain a lot of weight. I quit taking it, and I was having some problems. So we did my chart, and first we used a supplement for GABA, and it wasn't working. We decoded the receptors, and they were able to take the GABA in, and I haven't been on that medication for 4 months now, and I'm doing pretty well.
Well,
so we're doing this with math. We're doing it with frequency. In every culture, one and one is two, and what's going on in your body by way of its frequencies is very predictable. Math is predictable, and so is medicine. So is the health of your body. We can predictably look at what muscle is going to be in stress. We can look at what pathogens you've been exposed to. We have a journal. It's jbab.org, Journal of Bioacoustic Biology, jbab.org. And it gives you the whole background there of what we're doing. The next issue, we have several articles coming out, but one of them is on pathogens, that we have been able to decode and kill pathogens. So all of this crap about the government trying to scare us about bird flu doesn't have to be that way anymore. And that whole project started because someone from the Republic of Georgia, that's old Russia, asked us to do this for their government. And so we decoded the bird flu, so we now have all of those frequencies. And we've reversed Epstein-Barr and chlamydia pneumoniae and yeast infections and herpes and a lot of other kinds of viruses and bacteria. So we think we can use the same technique to extrapolate to new information. So we're working with an Army project now to check some of this out. People from all over the world contact us, come here to train, come here to be clients. It's just awesome, awesome stuff, but it's really, really hard to believe unless it happens to you. Nikki, did you believe we could do that with sound?
No, I did not.
Did you think it was just a fake, or you just waiting for it to drop, or?
I just didn't know. I mean, I just didn't know.
Heather, you've been working with us for a year, haven't you?
I have, and, you know, I didn't believe until Sherry fixed my heel for me. Remember me limping around for about a month and complaining.
You
finally drug me into the lab by my arm and said, here, come here, I'll fix you. And under 30 seconds, she did. So I was a true believer after that.
So
you've not experienced this, have you?
We've kind of played around a little bit since I had my surgery, but...
So you're a database person. We haven't got a hold of you yet.
Yeah, I can kind of hide up my cubby hole.
Okay. Jessica, have we done anything for you with this?
We're working on the abs project right now. Try to build a six-pack or more with sound.
How's that going, Jess?
Pretty well. I've got some new tones to put on my tone box. To kind of work the lower abdominal region, because right now I can feel it in the upper portion, which if I were to normally work out, which I don't do right now, obviously, that's usually the part that would show definition first, was the upper part.
Are you ready for the expo where we get to show off your abs?
I guess so. I'll have to go get an outfit.
Jessica, what you're saying is we're giving you a sound and it's exercising your muscles.
It's awesome. Hey, I don't have to move. I can sit there and type on my computer and work and go to school and no, I don't have to do anything. I'm not changing my diet at all, which you know my diet is awful, if you could consider it a diet by any means. So.
Well, Lyle, does that answer your question?
I think we lost Lyle. Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe we gave him all the answers and more that he needed. Lots and lots of information. You know, I get in this mode where I just assume people know what we're talking about, and I shouldn't do that. Okay.
Well, Lyle, you can contact us.
Yes. The phone number is 740-698-9119 or heather@vocalprofileing.com or our website, which is full of free things, called Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, Sound, Nutrasound.com. Lots of free stuff on there, Heather. You built that site. What free stuff's on there?
Oh, gosh, we've got tons of videos. We've got informational packet downloads. We've got, all kinds of good stuff. We usually have, if you go there and check it out, some kind of promotion. Jessica, can I talk you into offering our listeners a promotion?
Oh, man, you do this every time.
I do, just for our listeners, because you know I love our audience.
Well, we normally have incentives that run normally. The 30-day, if you pay for a level 2 class, 30 days prior to the class start date, you receive a free little back box. And 60 days prior, you receive this invoice program that we're discussing this evening. Maybe for, November's class, it's going to be a little more than 30 days. Let's go ahead and offer the invoice program what we're talking about tonight.
Great.
I mean,
so we've extended our incentive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's enough, though.
Well, we have this whole package going on that you can start to be an alternative health practitioner, provider for other people for a few hours of course time, and the course is free. And you can start with the little teeny program. It's $440. And with that, you can do maybe 10 people. We charge $45 or $50 per report. You can do 10 people and then buy your beginning kit, your beginning professional kit, and then use that kit to raise your money for your larger course, which is a week-long professional course. And we just had a really nice professional weekend course that I think just went really well. The people learned it easily, and I even think after this first session, which is like one-third of the class, they're going to be able to go out and provide management reports for people.
Great.
So this is an entire new profession, and people who work with us are pioneers in bringing this new technique to the world, even. When you see things like a little kid that came in and he didn't have language and you give him a sound and then he can speak more crisply, that's just an awesome thing. It's really, really hard to believe. And I think that's one of the reasons that it hasn't caught on like wildfire. Well, two reasons. One, we couldn't serve everybody, because for every person who trains, we have like 500 people who want to be seen. So in that way, I'm really glad it's going slowly, because if we went on Oprah or something, there's no way we could see millions of people. We probably couldn't even take the phone calls. We probably couldn't even open the mail. The last time when we were on Coast to Coast, it took us weeks to get our feet back under us. We never expected thousands of people to call us, but it was certainly interesting. Things like one guy asked us if we could do a voice profile on his ghost.
That's a very true story. Yeah, we had some really interesting emails, didn't we?
Well, if he can get him to talk, we can probably do a profile.
I still like the Guppy story.
The Guppy story?
The guy had a fish farm, and he had 15,000 sick guppies and wanted you to do bioacoustic, some kind of help for his guppies. And then I thought it was funny, and then I asked you about it, and you're like, well, of course we can. That's funny.
Well, you find out what they have, and then you make an antidote. We could do it for crops, and we've done lots and lots of animals.
Yeah.
We did one horse, and we rigged up this headphones on his harness, because we have these tone boxes where we give people back the sound and we help their body reverse the disease. And this horse would lean its head against the barn and push that headphone into his ear further.
Because enjoying his frequency.
He really liked the sound, and it got rid of his tumor on his patootie.
Patootie tumor.
So we've been doing lots of strange things just to see if we could. And
that's amazing. Didn't you do? I remember at the Chicago Expo, the guy was a farmer, and he was asking questions about his crop.
Uh-huh.
And what we could do about that.
Well, Don Carlson has this great thing called Sonic Bloom, and he works with crops specifically. But we've done some, getting seeds to germinate early, the little teeny first plants come up and open really early.
Yeah.
But we really didn't know what we were going to do to the yield by forcing a plant to do that.
That's amazing. You know, the possibilities are endless with the science.
Well, one of the odd things that happened with it, and I really didn't mean to get on this, but I just think it's awesome. When a very young girl gets pregnant, it usually stops her growth. Her feet stop growing because everything goes to the baby and it just kind of stops for her.
Uh-huh.
But if we put people on the sounds that had their babies real early, their feet start growing again, and they go on to maturity the way they were supposed to in the first place.
Wow.
Okay, we were going to talk about you and Nikki and Chris. And, Nikki, I asked you the question, what were you talking about when you gave us your sample for Chris, and then that's when Lyle called?
I think when I gave that sample, I was mad at Chris.
Okay, that would explain a few things.
I think I was complaining. It wasn't good stuff I was saying. We're at a rocky point in our marriage, and we're trying to work out some differences, and I was expressing myself, and I don't think it was nice.
You guys have been married for 10 years?
10 years.
And between you have?
Seven children.
That is enough to throw a few rocks in?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I did your prints, and I put them together, and I did an evaluation, and this is the kind of thing that we can do for you out there, audience, if you're having trouble in your relationship, in your job, in making a decision. Chris, your chart has a lot of red in it. It's very physically oriented, but it's evenly distributed. So physical, doing something physical, permeates through every part of your life. Now, remember, audience, that C is ego, and C-sharp is justice, and D is self-approval, And D-sharp is being able to take your self-approval through expression. E is expression. F is planning. F-sharp is carrying the plans through. G is your physical result. G-sharp is usefulness of your physical result. A is the management of what you created. A-sharp is the distribution of what you created. And B is the delivery guy. Everybody.
I hope you took notes on that.
Did you repeat that, please?
Looks of astonishment on your guys' face. Priceless. That chart, I did write it up. That's how I knew it. And Heather has agreed that the first three people who email her at heather@vocalprofiling.com, she will give you that chart free, but the rest of you are going to pay $10. So the first few of you that get to her will get this nice chart free that talks a lot about what I just said and how to interpret this chart, their charts that they gave us. So we took their vocal sample, and the computer divided their voice into octaves and frequency relationships. Chris, you had a lot of red in your chart, and red represents anything physical. I wrote here, your words are not far behind the physical, but they often don't match. And this is, audience can't see this. I wish we could post these, but this dark is the red, and see how it's uneven with the rest of the things, especially here with what you're creating physically. You got a great big red and a little teeny carry through. Very high energy in F sharp, but little carry through. F is planning, means you won't carry through with what you say. Is that true about you?
I think to certain aspects.
Nikki, is that true?
My interpretation is that he might be full of
baloney.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
When he tells you something, does he carry through? Does he make promises?
He rarely carries through. I'm sorry.
Is that true, Chris?
She's lying, everybody. Total lie. That's why we're having problems, right there.
Most of your energy, most of his energy in his way. You've got your own energy in your own way. Your E is very high. Look how high your E is, the light colored here, but it's totally unbalanced. So there's no real energy behind the words. It means that with your words and what you speak, you lack completion.
I would say that's accurate at times.
At times. Woohoo. See, that's really, really short, C-sharp. You had a lot of holes in your chart when it came to C-sharp, and C-sharp is justice. So it means that justice is not always served by what you do. Fairness and justice, you need some work there. Okay, Nikki's energy is dispersed all over the place, but with a bent in serving other people. She does a lot, but it disturbs her flow of doing for herself. There is very little time, but she's very little time for yourself. Your A's are way low, but you're figuring it out. It's coming. You use self-talk as therapy. Your E is really high. His E is low. So by talk, you do self-talk, and he just kind of off the cuffs it. When you hear yourself say things, you can figure things out more easily. Things become clear then. What you two have in common is the note of G. And G is physical, creating something physical. So if you are going to have an argument, you're holding up a book here.
I'm about to get hit. Go ahead.
If you were going to have an argument, you would start with, what do we want to create? What is the physical outcome? Where do we want to go? And, oh, I saw that little raise of eyebrows there. So in your rocky relationship, where do you physically want to go? Do you want to go to a family that's totally compatible? Is that what you want to create?
I don't know if we know what we want right now. Most of the time we just want to kill each other.
Well,
that's physical, isn't it?
Well, it says here a place for you not to work is ego. Don't ever start with ego. You did. You said selfishness, in your case, you don't match there at all. It's the biggest non-match in your chart, and it's the least compatible point. So you're not, if you start an argument there or a discussion, it's not going to work.
That's true. That never works.
Yeah, that is true.
Nikki's work is in the area of physically getting her life, family, home, and job in order. She has a lot of disbursement that she needs to bring together. She feels frustrated because what is happening in her life doesn't follow logic. What she thinks ought to happen, what she's been told is going to happen, doesn't happen. And that's a frustration for you. You have all this yellow in here, but it's dispersed all over the place, and it's not logical. Your chart is not logically organized. So whatever you were talking about is not, the outcome is not logical for you. If someone says, I'm going to mow the grass, and you come home and the grass is not mowed, that's not a logical outcome for you. I see from your face that has happened.
Our grass is really high right now. It's embarrassing.
So, Sherry, from this chart, what can they do? What would be the best approach for them in order to work things out?
They would have to sit down and find a future point where they could talk about what they want to be created for their lives and their family and work from there. Incrimination's not going to work. Accusation's not going to work. They have to have a common goal. And it has to be a physical outcome. I'm going to build a picnic table, and how am I going to get there? I needed a picnic table because you're lazy and you won't make one. But this is my goal, a picnic table. And what do we need to do to get our picnic table? And that's just an example. But yeah, in their case, their compatibility issues, you have to start there. And once you start on Chris's ego, he's going to shut down on you. If you try to talk to him about what he's already built and what's already here, and let's add to that, you'll get to him.
No, that's true, too, because just that the grass were an example. We need to find a common goal, because as a lot of men, I work a lot of hours. And sometimes, we have teenage daughters. That's something that they should help with us, because there's times where we both work a lot of hours. There's days I work 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, believe it or not. So that's something where we need to find a common ground, a solution. And instead of finding a solution, a lot of times we just argue because it's not done.
Okay, then we need the grass mowed. What are the options we can discuss to get the grass mowed? And whether it's bring in the teenage daughters or buy a new lawnmower or who's assigned to that or...
See, and that's what I'm saying is that the solution is never looked for. It's just the grass isn't mowed. Let's argue about it.
Well, your chart clearly says you have to go with end product.
Right.
So do you put a deadline like, okay, this we need to have this done by this date. How are we going to get it done? So there is a deadline on... when that would get done?
I would think that would be part of the plan, and I would also think a punishment if it's not done, or some kind of you owe me a new stove or something.
Hot dog. That works.
Yeah, but you saw in his chart that he's full of crap, so he could promise me a new stove, but he wouldn't deliver.
Okay.
You have to follow through with your end of it, that you won't put up with it.
Yeah,
right.
And that he's got to have some kind of unincentive or a disincentive. What hurts him the most? What does he hate to give up the most? If you don't do this, you have to spend 48 solid hours in the family room with all of us.
Oh, that would hurt.
How about give up that T-shirt?
Or
that's unfair.
I think we should burn it.
Is that something you want from him?
But time with my family is not a punishment.
But it's something she wants, so she needs to get something she wants out of it. No TV for 48 hours?
Oh,
ouch.
My gosh. No,
no
Ohio
football.
State on Saturday.
Ouch.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sorry about that.
All right, crazy. I want a divorce.
But that's why people let things go, because there's no disincentive to not do it.
Well, why wouldn't people just do it because they love the other person and wanted to make them happy?
Because they should both give and not one give and one take.
But there's
because
a part two, yeah.
Religion, you know, that's what happens.
Right.
It should be a 50-50, but it rarely is.
I do my stuff because I love him, and I want him to feel good, and I want him to know that his stuff is going to be done. But he doesn't feel that way.
But that's how you react because you love him, but that doesn't mean how other people react in the same manner.
And
sometimes he may need to hear it from you.
You know, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it again. This is how men think, or most men, is that our work is our love. What we do at work, the hours that we put in,
that's enough.
I mean, I know that, and maybe that's not right. You know, I'm not saying that it is right, but I'm saying that's me. That's how I feel. I work 18 hours a day for my family, for my wife, for my kids.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's wonderful, but when you leave the grass unmowed, you make more work for her. And that's the problem. You make more work for her. She's self-motivated. You're not. So in order...
Slam!
Well, about the grass. He's self-motivated to get the grass done and will do it on her own. You're not self-motivated, so she needs to contract with you to motivate you to mow the grass, however she can do it. And then because you're looking for this physical outcome, either if you don't want to mow the grass, then you've got to find an option. You pay somebody to do it. You work all those hours, make all that money, so you're going to pay somebody to do it. So you find the option.
For Nikki, do you find that if he doesn't do it, you just get tired of asking him and you just go do it yourself?
It's gotten to the point I don't ask him. I just do it.
You just do it because it's not going to get done if you do it.
He procrastinates and he doesn't.
Why do you do that?
Poor
Chris.
I do kind of feel bad.
Actually mowed the grass.
I've mowed it several times.
Do you have any idea how many times I've mowed the grass?
I don't know.
So do you do the laundry, the dishes, clean up after the kids, make sure they have dinner?
That's not supposed to do.
Yes, exactly. You started with ego. I've done this. You haven't done that.
Yeah.
That's not a good argument. You're not going to get anywhere because you're not compatible there.
That's true, too.
Way true.
And there's ways around it. My husband won't mow the grass, and so I just decided to love weeds.
I don't think I could ever love weeds.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Chris, when she tells you that the grass needs mowed, do you not realize that hurts her feelings when that doesn't get mowed?
Not only that, but he leaves more work for her.
Yeah.
That probably hurts her feelings.
Honestly, the grass being mowed has been a recent thing because I have switched jobs.
Yeah.
So I've taken a vacation in between switching the jobs. And while I've been on vacation, I haven't mowed the grass. That's the end.
Shame.
About,
you have all this time
and
your
grass
still not mowed.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
See what I just did?
The way I look at it, first of all, the grass is not that bad.
It's really not.
You know, to me, it's like.
We
okay.
have to bail
it
out.
Okay, but you got to start with then how high is appropriate for the grass?
Well, measure it. It's too high.
Sheila, do you have these kind of problems in your relationship? The same kind of thing that you don't agree on how high the grass is okay?
I've lived on my own for so long that I'm kind of used to doing it myself. But he has been, the one thing he does do is mow the grass. He's pretty good about the yard.
Does he leave his clothes around? Does he not do his dishes? Does he
He'll clean the kitchen. He will clean the kitchen. He won't do laundry. He did fold laundry the other day. I came home and laundry was folded.
He'll do the lawn and clean up the kitchen. You want to rent him out?
I don't know. Do you want to take
previous?
I
need
my grass. Do you want to take all the other things that go with him on the few things that he does do right?
Well, enlighten us.
Oh, I really don't want to get. Well, he's full of BS.
He
has zero follow through. And oddly enough, Chris and my boyfriend have the same birthday.
Uh oh.
Nikki and I have talked about this, and we didn't realize it till one day. I was like, "Oh, it's Kevin's birthday," and she was like, "It's Chris's birthday too," and I was like, "Oh."
Can you drag him in here? We'll do your print. We'll see how.
I tried to get him to come tonight.
Has he listened to the show? That's why he didn't come.
Yeah. No, I have told him about the show, and I have said, you know, we have an office full of women, and we do come into the office, and we come in and we vent about our relationships. we fail to say the positive, because right then those aren't on our mind. So his view was like, well, nobody in your office is going to like me. I was like, nobody's ever met you, so they don't know if they like you. But they do hear negative things about him, because when I come in, I do vent. He is a great guy. But,
something good for you to put up with him.
Yeah. I wish
somebody
knew what it was.
I think it's on both ends. I think that's the thing, is that it's on both ends. For an example, I don't mow the grass. For another example, I cook in our house. So I think you have to give and take on certain things.
There's an eye roll.
If I cook, he cleans.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there, it's a two-way street.
Well, you got to sit down and do your contracts and see what you're willing to give and take. If you're going to cook, do you cook 5 days to take care of one grass mowing?
My kids will not eat for cooking at all. So.
Oh, is that
true?
I don't know.
Don't kids do chores anymore?
They should.
I mean, my 6-year-old does chores, or she loses activity, and she's 6, but she knows.
Well, I have this opinion that in a relationship, you never have to ask a responsible person to do their part. They just see it and do it.
You're right. That's how it should be.
So there are places where each of us are responsible, irresponsible, grown up, child, adult. It's all about
this
book where you had all of this garbage go on when you were young, and you got all these old tapes that come up, and maybe he was punished by having to mow the grass, so he has an issue there. So you make a new contract to erase the old tape that you had, and you make a contract for the new stuff you want. And most people don't know what they want, just like this invoice program. We help people find out who they are and what they really want. Jessica, you haven't talked to us a lot this evening. Do you have that kind of problem in your relationship? You mow the grass at your house.
Yeah,
right?
I do it all. I do the dishes, do the laundry. I do it all. But because I can do it by myself, I don't need someone to do it for me. However, it'd be nice for someone to do that.
When you had a relationship, when your husband worked together,
was that a downfall. Yeah, that was a downfall of it, because the one thing that Chris kept mentioning was time, and that he works a lot. And I understand that, but if they would do a full week of this many hours was at work, and then I came home and did this, what he worked 18 hours for, I did 18 hours of laundry, dishes, dinner, bath time, work myself, school. So in the end, it all equals out. So 18 hours of physical labor is draining, yes, but so is 18 hours of emotional stress.
Do you feel like he didn't realize that if he didn't do it, he left it for you and made it harder on you? Did he get that?
After I was gone, I think he got it. Yeah, I think so. I think he just, I appreciated what he did. I appreciate that he worked for us as a family, but he didn't see my daily chores as being anything other than that. You know, but it really was.
Woman's
it was
work.
Keeping the house together, just like keeping it financially stable. I was keeping it emotionally stable.
Woman's work.
Yeah. That's not just woman's work. That is a full-time job.
I totally agree with that. I think being a mother / wife is the hardest job in the world. So I do agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, we do work a lot of hours. In my case, I do take the time to do certain things, so... But I can see what you're saying.
I'd like to see, like, what you guys, your days compare, like, 24 hours out of the day. What
and
you
I
do
have
18
a great chart.
Work, what
she
does
that.
18 hours a day,
yes,
too.
Yes, I do.
Let's
bring when I taught independent living,
that's a lot that happens.
When I taught independent living kids, I had them do charts for me, weekly charts, on how they use their time. I have
this is probably a totally different show, an added show, but my husband watches 8 to 10 hours of TV a day.
That's not normal.
That's a day.
That's really not.
And when I complain about all the mess laying there, all the newspapers that I'm stepping on, sliding and falling on my behind, and I say, I just need these picked up. And he said, don't make your problem my problem.
Meaning,
if you don't like those newspapers, that's your problem. You clean it up. And I think that's a very immature attitude.
I think that I stated previously on a show that we had, I think, Sherry, you asked me, what do I want in a relationship? I said, fairness, you know, you dirty the house as much as I do. I work as many hours a day as you do. Physical labor or not, you know, chances are your day, what you do every day is the same. Mine's not. Mine's a new day every day. So mentally, I'm almost working harder than you are physically. But regardless, you dirty the house as much as I do. You can help around the house as much as I do.
When you first got together, did you write out expectations, or
I told him right out of the gate, I am not a housewife. Do not expect me to be one, because I am not.
And did he accept that?
I think he took it all in, but I think as time has gone on, he has kind of expected me to fall into that role. But I consistently remind him, you don't just work outside or me work inside. And right now, he's home during the day. He's not even working. So, as far as I'm concerned, the house should be spotless, and
yes,
laundry should be
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
I don't get what you're saying.
So you want me to make it really clear for you?
But my point about it is you have to have some cooperation.
You have to make it clear, too, because men don't get it. You can't beat around the bush.
That's
you
right.
have to say, you know, while I'm at work today, could you do this, this, and this, and maybe this, at least complete maybe three or four things off the list while I'm at work.
Mine
so
is last but
have a
list.
House.
I've had a list on my refrigerator for almost 10 years now, and two things are done off of it, and I did them.
But that right there would prove whether or not you should be with that person. If you ask for something that is completely doable,
acceptable,
and they don't, then that should be your cutoff point for this isn't going to work. Because
that's the difference.
Mowing the lawn,
that's different.
Washing the dishes, is what does that take, really, out of a week? What? How many hours
gotta
does that
ride
in take?
I couldn't watch his tennis.
One defense I'll go with your husband is that he's retired, and he's put his life into his job, and he's retired. And he wants to do whatever he wants to do.
And he said that recently.
So I can go both ways on this. I can understand that, and I can understand working a physical job is very stressful. When you come home, you just want to crash out, and it would be nice if there was dinner there and stuff like that. Plus, men are raised differently than women. In general, I mean, you're kind of like more that the woman should kind of be a little bit more of the house mother.
I think a very good point, and I said this earlier this evening, that I think our generation, as the generation has gone on, I think men may be a little confused about their roles nowadays.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I think that's very, very true.
Because it used to be the man went to work, the wife stayed home. Now it's reversed. I mean, there's men that stay home, the wife go to work.
We want you to understand us, but we don't want you to break down and cry.
You know, we're hunters. We hunt. That's our nature. That's in our nature. So the emotional part of it, we lack. And sometimes it's innocent with guys. Not doing something on your chore list. For a guy, that doesn't mean, baby, I don't love you. That just means I love you. But I really don't want to do it. Is that cool? I mean,
no, it's not cool.
I know it's not, but that's how a guy.
You do two out of the five.
Well, the other
I was raised by my dad and my brother, so
that
that whole
yeah.
male thing just doesn't fly with me.
The other
and
side of it
that's
is
my stubbornness.
He left this
right.
for me. How could he? He doesn't love me. Look, guys, we're out of time. Can
wow.
we have some music? Be sure to call us about classes and these free charts. Get in touch with Heather. Heather@vocalprofiling.com. We're coming up in the world. This is a pioneering new medicine. New articles all the time. Check out Nutrasounds.com. And we never seem to finish this. We get in the middle of a good argument. And so if other things you want us to talk about, by all means. That's it for this week. Thanks, guys. It's been great.